I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Hello there, everyone. I am Jimbo Paris. Welcome again to the Jimbo Paris Show. And today we have a very special guest, Paul Wrightston. He is a yoga teacher and also a rebalance coach. So he seems like a cool guy. Let's see what he has to say. How's it going, man?
Yeah, very well, Jimbo. Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. It's been a while trying to line this one up from Australia, but yeah, very exciting. Yes.
Yeah, I could definitely hear the accent.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, born and bred in Australia. So yes, beautiful country to live in, that's for sure.
Okay, so I think the first question I need to ask you is, what do you do?
A few different things. You touched on that just before. So I do a live streaming online yoga in the mornings. And then I moved into guiding and supporting men in the coaching realm. So, and also have an online program for that as well. So that's called The Complete Man. So I've got a good balance between the online live streaming yoga and then also the men's program as well.
So why yoga?
Touching on or going back to many, many years ago, I was introduced to Swami Sarasvati here in Australia and became friends with her son first. And then this is probably when I was in my early 20s, and I was always fascinated with the Eastern culture and looking at ways to support my mind and body. And I knew that the Western sort of medicine and things like that wasn't going to give that to me. So I went down that path of finding something different, and that's led me into the yoga. So I was fascinated and also just wanted to curious and to find out more about that side of things, and that sort of led me into that sort of space. So for me, it's not so much the physical workout you get from yoga, it's more the mind body connection and also the spiritual side of things as well.
Now, maybe for the less informed people, especially me, of course, what is yoga?
Well, the word means like union, to be one. So one with yourself, one with God, the universe, whatever it is. But to simplify that, it's having that stillness in the mind and body and the connection to an awareness of your thoughts and emotions in a way that it doesn't become overwhelming. There's more control over your physical body and the mental side of things as well. So, but I guess it's more, well, it is really that. It's bringing that simple ways to bring that calmness of the mind and body, yeah, in a way that you can use it every day. So that's pretty much why it's so powerful.
What are some common misconceptions about you, about yoga in general? Maybe some misconceptions you had or some that you know people that you've instructed have had.
Huge one, obviously, it's a money-making machine. So a lot of people think that you have to wear the right clothes or look a certain way or have the massive following on Instagram or whatever it might be to, you know, have that, well, I guess that way or that look, you know, people see that as, oh, well, that's the way I should be. So then they don't do it because they think, well, I'm not like that. But that's far from the truth. So I guess the people that I'm attracting in and what I like to try and get across the message, you don't have to be like that. So that's like almost like a false way of, you know, the traditional side of things. That's a massive one. And also the other one is, you know, you don't have to stand on your head or do any fancy, you know, crazy poses or exercises to get the major benefits out of it. So in fact, it's, you know, that's probably you should be aiming for, you know, it's more like the breath and body connection.
Yeah, because again, I see some pretty elaborate things on yoga, and I used to practice some of it quite a bit too. And
oh, yeah, awesome.
There's like some crazy poses like the crow pose or somewhere you're doing handstands and pulling your legs over. So it's not like yeah. That usually.
That some of that is part of it, but it's you don't have to do all those, you know, very advanced strong poses to get the benefit out of it. So it's more, I guess, guiding and teaching people that if they wanted to move into that direction, they certainly can, but it's, you don't have to do those to get the benefit of just, you know, slowing down the mind and body and also strengthening at the same time. So there's many other ways of doing it than just aiming to stand on your head or put your legs over your head, whatever you might want to do. So, yeah.
I'm just really curious here because this is interesting. Who was sort of your mentor, teacher?
In the yoga realm, definitely it was Swami Sarasvati in Australia. She just lives a couple of hours out of Sydney, which is in the east coast of Australia. So father was a guru in India. So she was, it was a fascinating lady. So she's got dementia and she's not that well now, but she's in her 80s. She's definitely the mentors, and just how she would look at life in a very uplifting, positive way, no matter what was happening, because she had that control over her mind as well through all the breathing and the yoga that she was doing. So definitely she's up there in part of the, in that sort of space anyway.
Interesting. And sort of how has sort of teaching yoga contributed to your career goals?
It definitely brings focus in. Having seen what Swami did back in that sort of early days, for me, it's the giving of, you know, this is what I do and what works for me. This can help you as well if you're open to it. And it's just a very uplifting message to pass on that I know that does help people significantly in their everyday life. So, yeah, it's pretty powerful.
What were some of the initial struggles and challenges you had when going into yoga?
I guess how to get it through and across to multiple people. Like, I didn't sort of, it's interesting because I was working in a small venue, and then, so this is back in 2019, and then I had this big vision that I was going to take it online and do, you know, videos, so it's basically, you know, available globally. So, and then COVID hit, and then everyone was putting things online. So the gyms were doing free stuff here in Australia, you know, basically everyone was putting it online. So that was a major challenge because I was ready to launch and I started all the testing and, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff, and then COVID hit, and then I pulled it back a bit because I didn't want to compete with all the, you know, people just panicking and jumping online and trying to make things work through that sort of pandemic stage. So that was a major challenge, but that was more because I wanted to take it online and grow it sort of like via video. So yeah, that was definitely up there with one of the challenges.
Sort of, what was the biggest success you had in your career? What were you the most proud of?
Well, probably moving into the men's coaching side of things and completing an online program. That was pretty big because that was about probably 4 to 5 years in the making. So it's one of those things when you do all these personal development courses and building yourself up and getting all the experience to actually then produce something that others can get major benefit out of it as well. So that was a massive thing. Or again, I had this big vision of like, how can I get a message out or some guidance to others in a big way, and doing it one-on-one is not going to work. So then I sort of like, okay, it's got to be a program. So that's when I created that last year. So yeah, that was a massive hand on heart, proud moment. So for sure. So yeah.
So do you know any forms of meditation? So like, which one is your favorite? Because I know there's a few, like transcendental meditation and, you know, mindfulness meditation, and there's all these different forms. And which ones do you think are the most important and the ones that you think are best for you?
Well, for me, mindfulness and gratitude is definitely there. To be honest, I don't sort of like dive into too many others. I mean, it's, I know there's a lot of different sorts out there, but I mean, it's, if people come and say, like, I've never done it before, what do I do? I think it's even just sitting in nature in a park or in the forest or whatever it might be, in the woods, on the beach, and then having that still time and just being focused on the energy you feel from that, that's a big one for me as well. And that's why I do guide a lot of people to actually spend some time in nature, because it's like it's such a powerful thing. I live right in the city, and it's quite a lot of, you know, buildings and concrete around, so it's, there are parks and things. For me to rejuvenate, always step into that space of, you know, being connected into nature. So, I mean, that's one very easy thing to do, even just closing down the eyes and just focusing on the breath, just making sure the breath is nice and even, having the same number of seconds on the inhale to the same number of seconds on the exhale. Yeah, that helps with not just like, I guess, the meditation side, but also slows down the body and also helps with, you know, anxiety and negative emotions like anger and things like that. So there's all sorts of different ways, I guess, to bring that stillness in than just thinking you have to sit, you know, cross-legged for a half an hour or whatever it might be to get that benefit. Yeah.
I never thought of nature. Why do you think nature is such a big thing?
that feeling of oneness for me. So when I sit in nature and even spending time with like a pet or, you know, noticing, you know, the bird in the trees or whatever, there's always that almost seeing yourself in that as them. So then there's that connection of like whether it's God or the universe or, you know, wholeness or oneness that brings that feeling of completeness in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And this is sort of a question that just sprung up to me here, but do you think yoga is more of a religion or a discipline? Which one do you think it veers more to?
I guess it's based on some of the philosophies of Hinduism. I had this question actually from a very good friend of mine who is a Christian, and his first words were, well, I'm not going to join in because that's way from my beliefs. That's fair enough. That's everyone's belief. I guess it's not so much that. I mean, if you look into some of the Sanskrit and some of the practices that, you know, it's quite traditional. Yes, it is based on, I guess, the Hinduism, but I definitely don't bring any of that into, you know, the way I do things because it cuts out a lot of people. I'd rather have, you know, someone benefit from, you know, the breathing or the slow movement than thinking it's a religion and then they're just totally shut down and, you know, not seeing the benefits. So I guess it's probably a bit of both. So I guess it's based on that, some of them, the philosophies of the, you know, Hinduism and I guess Buddhists in a way too. But I definitely don't teach that. I mean, I'd rather see someone get benefit from breathing than having a barrier of, you know, the religion side of things.
Yeah, Buddhism is quite interesting too, because I do have some, let's just say I have some family members that are a part of that practice too. And you kind of notice that the Chinese practices are very similar to some of these practices in India too.
Yeah, that's right. And then you head to, I guess, places like Thailand, yeah, that's heavily Buddhist as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to other parts of Asia like Bali, and that's Hinduism. So, and they sort of practice yoga as well. So it's like it's across the board, I think.
And how long have you been practicing yoga now?
On and off about 20 years. Mm. Yeah. So teaching it about six. Yeah.
Has it felt like 20 years?
No, not at all. No. So, I mean, it's just part of life now. Like even it's almost like it's turned into a habit. You know what I mean? Like it's even just sitting in a car in a traffic jam or whatever it might be, you know, instead of getting frustrated with certain things like that, it's just knowing that, you know, that the breath just calms the mind and body. So it's almost like a daily habit, you know, every day. I guess part of my day, it doesn't seem that, you know, that long at all. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sort of what parts of yoga are you most excited about teaching? Because I think we talked a bit about maybe stretching, a bit about meditation. Actually, we didn't talk a lot about stretch, but the meditation we talked about. So what parts are you most excited about teaching?
The feeling afterwards is a major mm-hmm. thing. So the breathing is a massive, you know, part of it, what I teach. So it's more connected technology-wise or way as well in that realm, but it's more the feeling, the body when it slows down, actually the mind when it slows and connects to the breath. And then bring the slow movements into it, it actually, you know, strengthens the mind and strengthens the body. So that's you know, that's a huge thing.
And how do you sort of manage conflict in yoga classes, whether that be a social conflict, a energetic conflict, or maybe even just an internal conflict among the students?
Well, the major one obviously is compare themselves with others. So it's funny, you know, when going back to when, and even now you hear people say, oh, you know, don't compare yourself to others, that they can do a more advanced pose than what you can. But it's human nature to look across, or, you know, this is in a live space or even on like on this sort of video type space, if you've got yourself set up on gallery view or whatever, you'll see everybody, giving the person the confidence that, you know, where they're at is perfect where they are now. That's all I can do. Because, you know, we've all been, so we're all certain levels, we're all individuals, we can all, our bodies are all different. So what one person could do, you know, I may never be able to do because it's just the way that I'm sort of made up physically. So it's definitely that side of things. The other side, I guess, if it's the energetic sort of disconnection, it's just basically, you know, could be spending time with a person. So this is everyday life, actually. So to make sure that they're, you know, where they're at is, if they're in a negative energy, make sure they're okay, spend some time with them, and yeah, just making sure they can raise their energy, because it's quite, I guess, negative to stay in that sort of space of negativity. You know, most of the time with conflict, we try to express our opinion and the other person's not ready. So they'll just like come straight back and say, no, that's not right, or whatever it might be. So it's having that understanding that both of us need to and wish to express, but then the other person has to be ready to listen to that as well. So it's quite it's a bit of a process to go through with that sort of conflict.
I've also did some additional research on you, and you've sort of created this warm-up sequence for your students. Could you kind of go into that a little bit more?
Well, there's a few ways of doing it. So I've got a guided meditation that people can sort of have access to. The warm-up is, I mean, there's so different ways of doing it, but I mean, the breathing is a big one, but also journaling comes into it as well. So really to start the day, or any time of the day. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be done in the morning. If people have a morning routine that doesn't fit in, you know, whatever time of the day suits as well. So there's also having that handwritten journal close by, or notepad, or whatever it is, to write down thoughts and, you know, what it's going to bring, the gratitude or whatever it might be during the day. So it's the physical side with the breath, and then there's the slow movement with the yoga, and then there's also the writing down things as well, which basically just sets the whole mindset in a different way to change and shift the whole physical and energy field of the body. Because once we start having gratitude or setting intentions for the day, it really changes the whole body. So it changes the to a cellular level, that because our whole body then starts working towards that intention or feeling that you might want to feel for the day. So there's a few different ways that I set people up, or, you know, suggest they do things. Yeah, I even had one beautiful man the other week, and you know, he's gone through the program, the men's program, and he thought he was, you know, 100% fine. And then it wasn't until he, you know, went through the program and did these sort of couple of these little things during the day as well, you know, it really enhanced his day, and he was getting more out of his day. So it's like, it's very simple, but they're also powerful ways of, you know, starting the day and bringing that goodness in.
And what were some of the most important lessons that you've learned along the way through your journey?
Don't wait for, you know, a major health scare or a significant life-changing event that happened to me to shift things up. That's the massive lesson for me. So, you know, life can be taken so quick from us, and we potentially fall into that comfort zone and then just go through life, and then something happens, and then we shift it straight away, whether it's whether it's moving, or whether it's changing jobs or relationships, or whatever it might be. So it's definitely, that's a major lesson for me, and what sort of guide others as well, that, you know, don't wait for that. Don't wait for someone close to your past, or don't wait for you to have a major health scare or whatever, or even worse, to have that, you know, massive shift if that's what you want to do. So yeah, it's a big one.
And how do you cultivate a positive work-life balance?
Well, I've got a very supportive, loving wife who supports me with everything I do as well, so that makes a big difference. And understanding of, you know, what I'm doing. So that makes a big difference in, I guess, the home space. And then I guess when you've got a passion for something, it doesn't feel like, I guess, work. So it's also got to be a cutoff time as well to enjoy and celebrate the small things as well. So it's making sure it doesn't become overwhelming and take too much, you know, of, you know, my life and, you know, being absorbed so much in it. It's probably the biggest thing is make sure I celebrate all the small wins along the way as well, not just like the big ones. So, and having gratitude with all the little things I'm doing, which then creates the big vision as well. So yeah, that's definitely a big one that still learning how to do that.
What advice can you sort of give to anyone? And are you offering any services, maybe on your website, for example?
Yes. So I've got a next launch of the Complete Man coming up. Oh, yeah, that's going back to the yoga. So this one here is all around the 40 minutes of yoga sessions. So I do those in the morning, Australian time. So I think over in the US, it'd probably be about 2 to 4 p.m. the day before when these are on. Yep, that's basically 40 minutes is short. That's long enough to get the major benefits out of it, but it's also short enough to fit, slotted into the everyone's daily life. So it starts off with 5 minutes of breathing, then about 30 minutes of movement, and then 5 minutes at the end for slowing things down and getting yourself ready to move into the day. So the other one is the men's program, the Complete Man. So I've got a link if anyone's interested that they can just click on to join the wait list for the next launch. Now, the next launch is looking at probably around April this year, and which is not, doesn't actually, this is more the yoga space, is what you're showing now, which is awesome. And then, yeah, so then the men's online program is the Complete Man. So if anyone's interested, I can certainly send you the link to bring people onto the waitlist as well, find out when the next launch is.
All right. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Are there any, you know, final words, any pieces or tokens of advice you'd like to give to the audience here?
Yeah, thanks, Jimbo. Well, thanks again for having me. It's been a long time in the making, so I'm very happy to be here. It's more just going back to, you know, if you want to shift things up in life, don't wait for, you know, any major changes, negative changes to happen, you know, health scare, whatever it might be. You hear it so many times, just make the change now, no matter how small it is, if it's all big. So yeah, just make it now.
Nice. Well, thank you again, Mr. Wrightson. It really was a privilege. Now, folks, we're just going to end this off here with a few quick shout outs. The first shout out we have is LifeWork Systems. This is our affiliate partner. She's essentially an HR superstar. She goes into large corporate businesses and basically improves the workforce and the interactions between employees to sort of create a better collegial environment in your business. If you're a large business and you're watching this show, please reach out to me and I can give you a great connection and lead to her. The next thing we have is going to be focused on our YouTube channel. We are currently growing in subscribers now. Please continue subscribing and ring that bell if you want to see great episodes like this. And then we have our Roku channel. We're on Roku as well. We're live. This will be on Roku TV and everywhere else. So again, get your Roku box, and this will be coming out soon as well. The next final thing is Jimbo Paris Services. We are also a drop servicing business and a marketing agency. I am willing to build content for you, automate your social media profile or website, and also automate podcasts as well. So if you're a busy entrepreneur and you're in need of some type of service and you can't be bothered to manage it, get a content creator like me. I'm here. All right. I'm Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you again for watching. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.